Shipwrecked. A group of angry men were standing in front of the synagogue. Priest and Pharisee, scribe and ruler were shaking their fists and sometimes shrieking aloud in rage. "We must stop this man Paul from preaching," hissed a Pharisee. "Only ignorant people and the poor listen to the preaching fishermen who were Jesus' apostles," declared a scribe. "But everyone listens to Paul. He is educated and is a Roman citizen," added a high priest. "Why, would you believe it? Even the king asked Paul the other day to tell him about Jesus." The ruler who spoke the last words clenched his fist as he spoke. He, with the others, were afraid so many people would be running to hear Paul that no one would be left to go to the synagogue. "Let us send him away from our country or kill him," they all said. Paul was having a hard time of it. Ever since that ride to Damascus when he had met and talked to Jesus in a vision, the Jews had sought to kill him, once they had trusted him as their friend. Now they thought him an enemy and were really afraid of him. Even the apostles at first didn't believe he was honestly their friend and meant what he said when he talked about Jesus. "How can this man who once imprisoned the Christians and put many of them to death now preach Jesus?" many of the apostles had asked. But nothing discouraged Paul. He went right on preaching and traveling all over the country. Everywhere he went, he left behind him a little company of people who believed in Jesus and practiced his teachings. Soon the whole world would hear about Jesus if Paul were allowed to speak. And this was what scribe and Pharisee, priest and ruler feared. The apostles and other disciples at last believed that Paul was in earnest, and they welcomed him as an apostle of Christ. He could do more than any of them because he could reach more people. The Jews who would not listen had Paul arrested and brought before the king. "Kill him," they demanded. The king shook his head. "What have you done?" asked the king of Paul. "Nothing," answered Paul. "But I wish to go to Italy and talk to the emperor. I will let him decide whether I am right or wrong in preaching Jesus." So off he started. But how do you suppose he went? In a ship, of course, but not as you or I would go. We would be free, able to walk about the decks and enjoy ourselves. Paul could not do so, for he went as a prisoner, guarded by Roman soldiers. The ship sailed and sailed. It looked as though it never would reach Italy. The sea was so rough and the winds were so fierce. Great waves towered high above the ship and swept over it, but the sturdy little ship shook them off and sailed on. Black clouds gathered in the sky and blotted out the sun by day and the stars by night. Huge waves driven by the fierce winds lashed the ship's sides as though they wanted to send it to the bottom. "Do not go any farther," said Paul. "The voyage is too dangerous. You may lose your ship and all its freight." But the captain would not listen to him. He was in a hurry to get to Italy for the winter. Far, far away from the sheltering shore sailed the ship. Boom, swish, crash! Wind and wave nearly tore the brave little boat to pieces. The captain had sailed right into the teeth of a mighty storm, and the vessel was like a tiny shell crushed between its jaws. The boat was helpless. So were the passengers, and also badly frightened. "We are lost," all of them cried. "Not so," said Paul. "Your ship and its freight will be lost, but every man on board will be saved. Last night, in a vision, God told me so." "Let us throw over an anchor," said one of the sailors. This was done, then up it was drawn. Down again into the sea it was cast, but not so far did it sink, for the ship was nearing land. "Put off the light boat and let us save ourselves," said the sailors. "If they leave the ship without us, you cannot be saved," declared Paul to the chief captain. "We will kill the prisoners lest they try to escape," answered the soldiers. "The prisoners shall not be killed. They shall go with us," said the chief captain. He knew Paul and loved him. He was not going to allow any harm to come to him. The ship was slowly breaking to pieces as the waves beat against it. All the freight had been thrown into the sea to allow the ship to float. Then a sailor cried out, "See, the lifeboat has drifted away. Now we will have to swim if we want to reach the shore." "Be quick, jump overboard, everyone that can swim, and make for the shore," shouted soldier and ship captain. "The others must try for the shore on boards or broken pieces of the ship." The morning fog, like a gray blanket, hung over the sea and the sinking ship. Away in the distance could be seen a faint shoreline. All were asking themselves whether the men could make it before their strength left them. One by one, the men hurled themselves into the angry waves. It was a long swim, but Paul and every one of them came safely to shore. Dripping and shivering, they thankfully stepped upon land once more. Paul built a fire for them. Not a prisoner tried to run away. Did Paul get to Rome? He surely did, and for 2 years there, in his own house, he told the story of Jesus. Paul's enemies had not closed his mouth as they had hoped. Instead, they had helped him to carry his message to other countries and to many people. Storm and tempest and angry sea could not stop his tongue. Never was his tongue silenced until it had told to all the civilized world the story of its King, the Christ.